Let's pray. Father, we stand in agreement that you're our Papa God, and the plans that you have for us are absolutely awesome. And what you've done for us through Jesus is phenomenal. God, that we would get tonight to a greater measure, more of what has already been done for us, and that we would come alive unto righteousness to a greater measure than we ever have. We trust you, Holy Spirit. We trust you as you bring forth the life, the word of our Lord and Savior. I yield to you. I yield to you. Lord, I don't want to be seen. I want you to be seen. I trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This scripture, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." There's a big question in amongst the church all over the world, and that is, what is the will of God concerning restoration of our human being, restoration of our body, concerning healing? Healing is a sign. It's a sign of salvation. When you do a study in the New Testament on that word salvation, you will find healing again and again. It's the same word. It's the same word. Sozo. Okay? That we need to know, if we're going to pray with confidence for people that need help, they need to be healed, they need to be set free, they need to have oppression put off of them, they need to be loose to be who God made them to be, they need to be loose to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven, then we need to understand what the Father's will is. How many of you know, if you pray not sure if it's God's will to restore someone, you're going to pray with enough doubt to not have anything happen? Jesus said, if there's just a little bit of doubt, then you're not going to be able to speak to the mountain. If you have faith and do not doubt, and do not doubt, and do not doubt. So we've got to settle an issue. And the issue is it God's will to heal all the time? That's a question. And there are so many people in the church that what's coming across is because we don't see God healing people all the time, then it must not be his will to heal them all the time. And if we're going to pray with confidence, and we're going to pray in faith, and we're going to pray believing it is his will, then we've got to know it is. Now, I'm going to simplify this for you a whole lot. What is the will of God? The will of God. If you read in Hebrews chapter 1, what does it say? Jesus Christ is the express image of God the Father. You want to know what the will of the Father is? Look at the life of Jesus. Look at it. You want to know what the will of the Father is? Look at the life of Jesus. His life is the expressed him. He is the exact image of God the Father. If you see it in him, it's in the Father. Tell me one person that came to Jesus for healing and he said, "Look, it's Thursday and the Father only heals on Saturdays." Tell me one person that came and said, I just want you to heal me. Jesus said, you know, there's issues in your life, okay? I mean, you got sin thing going on here. Go get your life right and come back and we'll heal you. Everybody he healed was sinners. Everybody he healed were lost people. You can't be any more of a sinner than a lost person. Right? Why? To let us know what the Father's will is so that we can pray with confidence it is his will to heal all. Now read the scriptures. Matthew 8:16 is all through the Gospels, okay? Everyone that came to Jesus, he healed. It says again and again, he healed all who came to him. He healed all who came to him. I want you to tell me how that word all is anything less than all. Why? So that we can confidently know it is absolutely his will. When we pray for someone, we know it is absolutely the will of the Father for them to be restored. It is his will. Oh, man. You know, the devil, we're spiritual beings that are looking to see if we got a little bit of doubt so they don't have to leave. They're spirits of infirmity and sickness and disease are in people, and they're watching the spirit to see, is there any doubt there? because we don't have to go nowhere if there is. They can scream at us, they can yell at us, they can pray all they want. We don't need to go. But when they see, this is a believer. Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe. When we believe that it is the will of the Father to heal all, because Jesus demonstrated that. Anyone bound up that came to him, he set them free. Right? We're going to talk to you, I don't know what night, we're going to talk to you about deliverance Jesus style. Now, there's deliverance ministries all over the world, okay? And there's anywhere from 2 or 3 steps to 50 steps. Jesus had the one-step program. We're going to show you how to get free yourself. In 60 seconds, you can get free, and you can help somebody else get free. See, the church in the beginning, they understood that they had the authority of Jesus to be able to set the captives free, because we have the same platform that Jesus had. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and following, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Now understand this. Because he is anointed, because you have already been anointed, the Spirit of God will come upon you to do the same works of Jesus. Jesus said, the works that I do, you too will do. And even greater works will you do. He said, as the Father sent me, I send you. Guess what? That starts with brand new believer day one. As the Father sent Jesus to do the works, to do the same work, he said, I send you. Go. I said, the Holy Ghost school is the greatest school there is. You know, and a lot of times we're just praying and we see all this stuff happen, and then you go back to the scriptures and he explains to you what happened. You don't have to have the doctrine first. It's real. How much doctrine did it take for you to get into the kingdom? Yeah, you knew. How much scripture did you know? For God so, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And maybe that's the only scripture you knew, right? And you came into the kingdom with one scripture. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We put all these conditions. Well, you know, God wants, God will use sickness to teach. God will use anything. But what's his preferred method? Don't ever put sickness on people as coming from the Father. He cannot give us what he doesn't have. Is there sickness in God? Is there sickness in heaven? No, don't put that on him. And don't say that he's putting sickness on you so you'll be better, so that you'll learn things, so you'll stop doing the things you were doing and you'll settle down. God will use anything, but he doesn't put sickness on you. How many of you have children? Okay, your children are misbehaving. Would you do this? Would you go out and buy some snakes and some scorpions and some, biting serious lizards? Bring them back, put those critters in their bedroom, and say, you know what, you've been misbehaving, get in your room. Would you ever do that to your child? Well, that'll teach them. They'll learn. How much more our Heavenly Father gives us the Holy Spirit, how much more? He would never do that for his children. He's given us a better way. He's given us a better covenant. Jesus has dealt with all of this. He's dealt with sickness and disease. And he's made a way. In our heart, if we're going to pray, if we're going to work with Holy Spirit, to be able to set the captives free, to be able to get to pray for people and see sickness driven out of people. First thing, we've got to understand it is absolutely the will of the Father to heal all, to set all free, all the time. If you don't see it, that doesn't mean it's not his will. People will say to me sometimes, oh man, you know, we saw 150 people healed here tonight. Oh, but there was 2 that didn't. Does that mean it's not God's will to heal them? No. Well, explain that, little Tony. And I'll say, you know, I can't explain it. I don't know. It's not for me to know, because I'm not the one doing the healing. My part is I'm just believing, I'm laying hands, and I'm declaring the word. don't do the healing. That's his responsibility. You know what? He promised healing, and that's not time sensitive, like it has to happen right now, because that's a miracle. He promised healing. So whenever we pray for someone, we know there's an impartation of the Spirit of God every time we touch them. Every time. If you don't see anything happen, do not back off and say, well, maybe it's God's will that they be like this. No! No, no, no! Don't ever attribute that to God. It's not his will. Jesus is the will of the Father. The life of Jesus, if you see it in his life, that's the will of the Father. You know, in the Gospels, we're going to relate to one or four people. We got Jesus, we got the disciples, we got sick people, and we got the Pharisees. Now, how many of you know we're going to cross the Pharisees off our list? Right? So we're going to relate to one or three people. We're going to relate to the disciples, we're going to relate to sick people, we're going to relate to Jesus when we're reading the Gospels. A lot of Christians are sick and they relate to the sick people. They see themselves as the sick people. That's illegal. That's not New Covenant. That's illegal. Sometimes they relate themselves to the disciples. Guess what? They weren't born again. They weren't born again. You go back two chapters from the end of the Gospels, and that's still Old Covenant. Did you know that? That's still Old Covenant. There is nobody born again except Jesus. Only one had the Spirit of God in them, and that's Jesus. We have one example in the Gospels of how we are to live, and that's Jesus. It's his life. He's our example. He's our model. He said, as the Father sent me, I send you. Everything he did, we should do. He demonstrated dominion over the elements, didn't he? You got some element problems here? You need a little rain? What do you think Jesus would do? You have been given dominion. Do you know that you are spiritual governors over the area that God's placed you? And you have his very same own authority. You have the authority. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now, how much authority is that? All of it. That means no one else has any authority anymore. You don't. The devil doesn't. Hallelujah. What does that mean? That means he gives you his authority. He's not giving you a authority. He's giving you his authority to use his name. And at the mention of his name, whatever the issue is, it moves. Disciples asked Jesus, man, you pray and stuff happens. Teach us how to pray, Jesus. He says, yeah, okay. Pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Come on. Hallowed be your name. You are a glorious God. You are an awesome God. We ought to first and foremost be worshipers, praisers of our God who's so awesome. He sent Jesus to deal with everything so we don't have to. And we can walk in the fullness of him. And he says, what did he say? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You want to know how to pray? Your kingdom come right in this person's body, right here, as it is in heaven. Come on. Y'all have a sanctified imagination. Y'all have God gave you an imagination to envision in yourself the truth of the scriptures. How many of you see sick people in heaven? Can anybody here picture sick people in heaven? Jesus said, this is how you pray, as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. Wow. You understand that, you know, the team from America, we're not specially gifted by God to come and do these miraculous things. We're not. We are called of God to come and demonstrate to you what he has for you. That's what we're doing. We leave places and we don't care if anybody remembers us. They're not gonna really need to, because we want them to be doing the works of Jesus. And when that begins to happen in your life, everything changes. It changes. You know, there's more in the churches today, there's more depression, there's more depressed Christians. I think sometimes more than outside the church. We have Jesus in us. You know, here's the mystery. It said in Colossians, Paul said, here's the great mystery, okay? If the devil had known this, he never would have crucified the Lord of glory. If he had any inkling at all that this mystery was going to be revealed, what's the mystery? Christ in you. The hope of glory. That literally means, in the original language, glory's hope is in you. Scripture says that the glory of God will cover the earth. Do you know how the glory of God's going to cover Standerton? Lift your hand up. Right there. That's how he's going to do it. The glorious one in you is going to reveal the glory of God to Standerton through you. That's how the glory is going to cover Standerton. It's not like mysterious clouds are going to come down and just begin to change people. You know, God works in marvelous ways. And he does a lot of things that are, whew. But he's declared to us that his glory is in you. New Testament, new covenant. He is never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. You don't ever have to do it alone, ever. 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 We realize that we don't know very much. It doesn't take very long, does it? You start praying for people and you realize, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. I have no idea what I'm doing. And religion says, you know, we've got to do all these things, we've got to learn all these things before we can start praying. You know, you got to get your life together, you got to get your act together, you got to get all the sin out of your life. Like, how the heck are we going to do that? He does that. The true Christian life is a life of rest in him living his life through us. There's no stress, there's no pressure. It's nothing but pure hallelujah excitement. He takes you anywhere and everywhere so he can release his life through you to do what you could never do. He gave us an impossible assignment, an impossible task for us, but not for him. And as we depend upon him, he just does it. He just does it. When I first went to Brazil many years, I don't know, 14 years ago, tons of people were praying for. They brought this guy up. I didn't see him bring him up because there was so many people that we were praying for. Multiplied thousands. They brought him up there, and his interpreter, speaking Portuguese, I didn't know Portuguese, so I asked the interpreter, what's wrong with him? And I thought that he said that there was a problem with his right shoulder. Okay. Well, this is in the beginning when I was, you know, pretty, my prayers were longer, my prayers were a little louder, my prayers are a lot more intense, okay, mainly because I didn't really know what I was doing, and, you know, I just wanted to make sure I covered this thing really well. So, here I am. Excuse me. Here we are. So I start praying for the guys, right, Joel? And I'm praying, I'm commanding this pain to go, and you're going to double, you're going to loose him, and just, I'm going at it, man. And we teach, okay, when you're praying, you want to stop, okay? You want to stop and ask them what is happening. Because sometimes we need to find out from them what the Spirit of God is doing, okay? A lot of times you're praying for one body part and God starts healing another part they didn't tell you about. So they'll say, my foot, it was hurting. Well, you didn't tell me about your foot. I know, but it's just got healed. Okay, so you want to see and flow with what the Holy Spirit's doing. So you just got to ask them and talk to them. So I said, what's happening right now? What's going on? And the guy starts doing this. Now remember, I'm praying for his right shoulder, right? He starts doing this. And I'm like, what? And his big smile on his face, you know. And there's some people behind. It must have been his family. And they're just going, yeah, 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 yeah. And I'm like, what is going on here? I'm just clueless, right? Finally, you know, I calmed him down enough. And I said, could you tell me what's happened? I asked the interpreter. And he says, the man came up here with a stroke. His whole left side was paralyzed. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'm praying like crazy for the wrong body part. Now, I'm praying completely wrong. Now, I want to tell you something. Our God is so big. He is so loving. He is so compassionate. You can't miss it. All he says is, will you step out into it and offer yourself to pray? You don't even have to get it right. You don't need to, you could be praying for the wrong part. Have you know? You ever get corrected by somebody that tells you? You know, I still slip now and then, and I correct some team members. You know, when they pray, but that's not right. God is bigger than that. He's so much bigger than that. And this guy, he had a stroke many years ago. I mean, you know what happens when you lose half your body? Your life kind of changes, doesn't it? His life just got restored. His family saw his life got restored. That family received Jesus right there, right then, because the power of God came and did what we could never do. But our part is to go. Our part is to say, I'll pray. That's our part. But if we don't do our part because we think for whatever religious reason that we can't, how many people are not being touched? Whew. Wow. When you pray, you want to pray with your eyes open. We have a tendency to do this. We pray for people. You know, if we're going to watch what the Holy Spirit is doing, you know, he may be doing something with them that is different than what they even asked us to pray for. And if we're not watching, plus the fact that sometimes you may be praying for someone who's not a Christian yet. They may be packing some critters, I mean demons. They may be packing them. And all of a sudden, when the power of God begins to come out of you, you know, that tends to scare demons. Okay? And they begin to realize, we may have to leave. We better do something. We better shake this person up. We better do something. And the person starts to manifest. We see manifestations maybe 5%. Not that much. Maybe 5% of the time. Most of the time, they just get shut down before anything ever happens. But sometimes we see manifestations. Manifestations of God's power on people. Manifestations of demonic power. People, you keep your eyes open. We're in Kenya, Africa. We're out doing crusades. We had the pastors' conferences. We went out afterwards to have crusades so they could all do the praying. and there was so many people that we all had to pray. We needed all the pastors and all the team. And one of our team members, he's a big guy, and he's standing there, and I'm here, and he's next to me, and we're like pushed up against the walls, the people are pressing us in, and this lady comes with her daughter, and she says her daughter's an epileptic. Daughter's about that big. He's a big guy. Daughter's about that big. Okay, and his team member closed his eyes, and he started praying. Come here, Casey. He's going, oh God, why does he keep doing this to me? Okay, so he's the guy, the team member praying. Okay, and I'm his eyes are closed, and I'm the little girl that's an epileptic. Now this epileptic spirit rises up. Now I'm standing there and I'm kind of watching this, and she just starts. Y'all see that? Claws came out of her fingers, and she embedded them into his chest. And this little girl picked him up in the air. Now, I want to tell you, his eyes were not closed at this point. At this point, he was And he started screaming like a little girl. He's screaming. See, this little girl, well, you understand, it's the demon, okay? We don't fight demons with carnal weapons. I mean, they'll whip you big time. You want to fight them physically, you're going to run away bleeding and naked. We don't fight with carnal weapons. But he wasn't aware of what was going on. And now he didn't know what to do. He couldn't think about praying. All he could think about was, will I ever have a chest again? And this little girl had him, and she was one hand. She's a big man. Now, the crowd was pressing in, and they all backed up to give some room for this manifestation. Now, we don't want to give devil a place. We're not interested in him showing off, because when he begins to do that stuff, everything stops and everybody pays attention to that. And we're not interested in what the devil does. We want to shut him down, get him shut down, and let's get on with blessing the person. And we get into deliverance. I'll tell you about how easy it was. Casey, you have to get in the person's ear that's manifesting. If they're rolling around the floor, you're going to roll around with them. And Casey got down there, wrapped his arms around him, got in the girl's ear, and shut that thing down in 15 seconds. And that girl got free. And we'll tell you how simple it was for her to get free. Amazing. Amazing. And we had, in America, we had a mother brought her epileptic child in, and she said, can you pray? Yeah, I'll sure pray. Prayed, commanded that spirit to come out of the girl, the life of Jesus to come into the girl, and there was nothing. There was no feeling, no sense of anything happening at all. But you got to understand, when you're praying, you are always releasing. A year after, I never heard anything from them. A year later, I saw the mother in the grocery store. And she said, Pastor Tony, I got to tell you something. What? My daughter, remember when you prayed for her? A year ago, yeah. She said, to this day, it's totally gone. Never went to the doctor, never did anything. She got healed that day. She got set free that day. Now, what if I said, oh, man, I didn't see nothing. Maybe what I did didn't do any good. Maybe, they're just, I need to get somebody else. Maybe we need to get somebody else who's got a better anointing. 1 John 2:27, you have the anointing, and the anointing abides in you. You know what abides means? It remains. The anointing is the Spirit of God. It's Him. He is the anointing. It's not some strange force or strange power. The anointing is Him. He's the one that does this. You have Him. He is in you, and He abides in you, and He's waiting for you to step out and take that prayer opportunity. Okay, how do you spell faith? School test. How do you spell faith? All right, here we go. You can write this down if you got something to write on. Okay, this is the real way to spell faith. Ready? R-I-S-K. If you are not willing to take a risk, you're not going to be in faith. You see somebody. Why is it that we as believers see someone that needs help? Because it's the Holy Spirit in you that wants you to step into that. Take the risk. What's the worst that could happen? They're going to punch you? They're going to tell you to get lost? What's the worst that can happen? You say, okay, you don't want me to pray for her, then I'll leave. Can I bless you? I always say, if they don't want me to pray, can I bless you? You know how I bless them? Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for touching them, blessing them with your presence. I blessed many Muslims and then found out in the night God comes to them in dreams and all kinds of crazy things happen and they end up getting saved. Just by blessing them. Because sometimes people, they don't want you to pray for them. But you know what? Most people do. You know, and I just say, I'm a missionary. In America, I say, I'm a missionary. And God restores a lot of people. Can I just pray a quick prayer over you? I see that you have a problem here. Can I do that? What's the worst that can happen? Let's compare that to what's the best that can happen. You get shocked. You get surprised as the Spirit of God comes upon you and Spirit of God comes upon you and all of a sudden this person goes, whoa! I like this. This happens so many times. They say, what was that? That's not what. It's who. Do you have that pain? No. It's God. My God, my God. I said, exactly. My God. Your God. It's not hard. We've been duped, church. We've been duped to believe that we got to go through some kind of select process to be able to lay hands on people. It's as a brand new believer, you're qualified. Do you know that a number one, I mean, fresh out of the chute. Sorry, Nancy. She doesn't like me to say that. Fresh into the kingdom has more authority than all the principalities, powers, and demons in the heavenly places. Brand new, number one, today believer has more authority, has full authority over all of that. But they're not taught that. They're taught, enroll in the program. Get yourself taught here. You got to learn some scripture first before you begin to pray. Yeah? Tell the demoniac in Mark chapter 4 that he after Jesus set the man free from legions, okay, thousands of demons, set him free. The only thing that God wanted to do is, I want to go with you. Can I go with you? And Jesus said, no. He says this again and again. He didn't want them to come. He says, no, you go back to your home. The man's home was Decapolis, scripture says, which is 10 cities. He says, you go back there and you tell him what's happened. The guy's got one message. I was a messed up dude. I'm the guy that killed your cats and ate them. I was a messed up dude. And I met Jesus. He touched me and he healed me and he restored me. And he'll do the same for you. Bring your body over here and let me pray for you. That's his message. He didn't know anything but that they're touched from God. And Jesus said, he commissioned them and sent them out with no instruction. Are y'all getting this? The gospel is simple. There's nothing difficult about the gospel. It's the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the king's domain. It's the gospel of the rulership of the king of the kingdom of heaven. It's the gospel of truth that we bring to set the captives free. And it's for every one of us. Every one of you in this place, if you've called on the name of Jesus, it's for you. No, all right. Well, so you go and you start looking for some sick people and you start praying for them. You know, you don't see anything happen, and you know they don't feel anything. They say, "Thank you very much. That was very nice, but you know, you can leave now." What do? You keep on praying. You keep on praying. Either it is God's will or it's not. If it is, you keep praying until it happens. Okay? Now, things are greatly accelerated right now. I prayed for over 100 blind people before I saw a blind person's eyes open up. Now, I would say probably if you do that, if you're believing this truth, if you do that, it may be only a few people and you're going to see it happen. It's just that way. Everything is accelerated in the Spirit now. It's happening so quickly. Why? Because we're so near to the end. God needs us out representing Jesus. We represent him. We represent him to a lost, dying, and hurting world. We represent him to the religious church who doesn't know. They just don't know. We find church leaders all over the world. Their heart is so right. They so want to serve God. They so want to live for God. They so want to bless lives. But it's just this tradition thing that's gotten into the church, you know. Traditions. Church leaders tell me all the time, well, this is just the way we've always done it. But what does God say? What does the Word say? Come on. Wow. Wow. Almost lost my water. Praise God. We had a man at the meeting we were at this morning, a man with crutches, you know, the kind of crutches that, you know, they come up and they got a clamp around here so you can have extra strength to support your legs. And you know what happens a lot of times? We see somebody like that and we think, oh, that's the last person I'm going to pray for. Give me somebody with a headache. It's no different to God. It's no different to God. Jesus paid the full price for every disease. He took those stripes on his back for every disease, every sickness, every pain. And this man's standing there and he's telling me, I got such serious pain in my legs. It's all the time. It's extreme. He said, it's extreme pain. And it's there 24/7. You could see it on his face. It was just, it took two times to pray. 15 seconds the first time, 15 seconds the next time. Just simply commanding the pain. It's illegal. Jesus has paid the price so that that pain is now illegal in a person's body. For you representing him, you're coming with his authority, and those demons of sickness and disease, they have to listen to the voice of God. And you know, Jesus said, my words, they are spirit, and my words, they are life. And you know what? Your words are spirit and they're life. That's why when you start talking about the problems, that's why you get more problems in your life. When we start declaring the truth and declaring what Jesus has done, that's what you're going to see. Because every one of us are prophetic. You've been created to be a prophetic person, to enter the spirit realm. To represent God in the spirit realm. You know, we don't really care if people in the natural know about us. We want a reputation in the spirit realm. We want to have a poster up in hell. You see the poster, they got my mug shot on these pictures. It's like, what the? Gosh, it's like, seems so weird, you know. But you know, if we want to have a poster, let's have a poster in heaven. Well, we got one there already. A poster in hell so that the demons can know, watch out for this one. You know, there was a guy in a satanic cult. Do you know that Satan has conferences like we do? Like this, like what we're doing here. We're training and equipping believers to do the works of Jesus. They train and equip lost people to do the works of Satan. Did you know that? Oh, it's all over the world. It's in this place too. It's everywhere. Okay? They do that. They don't advertise it. They do it. And usually the people that get sucked into that are people that are looking for reality. They're looking to really see something happen that is real. Because it's not being seen in the churches, they're going out looking for it. So there was this guy. He was high up. He was a warlock, okay, in the satanic system. And the guy got blasted by God, saved, and he had this testimony after he came out. He says, "Allow me to tell you. Here's one of the things that we were taught. We were taught and we were trained to be able to recognize the light of God in a person. Jesus said." You are the light of the world. You are. It's Christ in you. You are the light to the world. Now tell me where light belongs. Does light belong in a light conference? Light belongs in the darkness.
light has the most effect in the darkness. You will have the most effect on the streets. That's the way it is. You want to see the greatest miracles happen on the streets, in the marketplace, at work? That's where they happen. Through believers who understand, I know who I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am. We need to learn who we are in Christ. If we have a 9-page list of nothing but scriptures about who we are in Christ. If you want it, you can download it off our website and print it up. It's a great thing to meditate on. Before you go to bed at night, just take a different scripture. It's just who you are, who God made you to be. That's it. In Christ. That's truth. Nothing but truth. Dwell on that. Meditate on that. You say, I don't know how to meditate. How many of you woke up in the middle of the night worried about something? Toss and turn. Oh, caw, caw. You know what you're doing? You're meditating. You're turning over and over and over in your mind the problem. Well, let's turn over and over the solution. Jesus is the solution. He wants us to be the answer, not be part of the problem. You've got the answer in you. How'd you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You say amen, amen. Okay. Huh. What'd I lose? Oh. What did I lose? Oh. What is that? Oh, it's the microphone. Can you still hear me? It works without. That's pretty cool. You see, all the parts aren't necessary. Jesus said, only believe, all things are possible. All things are possible. You know that, right? All things are possible for you. They're possible for you. God wants to so blast your life, so set you free, so drive everything not of him out of your body so that you can stand before someone and say, you know what? With the same compassion that God had for me, I have for you, God has for you. Let me tell you, have you ever prayed for somebody and they say, what do you know about my problem? How many of you came to Christ later in life? Am I the only one? Okay. You ever wonder, well, God, why didn't you save me earlier? I had a whole raft of worldly experiences and things that happened to me that God set me free from, one after another after another after another. And I can relate to so many people. God wants to do that with you. He who has been forgiven much loves much. You understand it's the gospel of love. Is this sounding kind of ringy? Is it sound okay? Can you hear me? Am I clear? Okay. Well, Pastor, you got a glow on you, and that glow is Jesus in you, and he can be seen. I just want you to know that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. My favorite thing to do is to get a captive set free. Favorite thing to do is to bring the life of God. What is our ministry for all of us? Our ministry is to bring and release the life of God. It's in you to release it. We need to learn how to release his life. We don't need God to come. He's already here. You don't have to pray for God to show up. He's already shown up. He's on the scene. Okay, I walk into a hospital room, in a hospital room where they say that this person is dying, that they're not going to live very long, I know as soon as I walk in that room, everything changes. It's not they're dying anymore because I'm bringing life. We have to understand what we're bringing. Jesus said, I'm sending you out. Go. Preach. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise. This is the way we read that. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Cast out devils. Cast those devils out. You know, because how do you raise the dead? Well, did Jesus do it? It's hard in America. I don't know how it is here. Here, when somebody dies in America, I mean, within a matter of minutes, there's a vehicle that's there. They're loading the body up, and they're taking them away and locking them up. So we don't get to pray for too many dead people in America. But I love it in third world nations. You know, when somebody happens to die around us, because they let the body sit there for the longest time, and we have an opportunity to Jesus said, raise the dead, raise the dead. You think that that's any harder for God? You know how I practice that? I like to go out for walks early in the morning, and I'll go out, you know, and I'll look at the plants, and if there's a dead plant, I'll go up to the dead plant, put my hands on the dead plant, and say, I speak life and not death into this plant, in Jesus' name. And I'll walk on. Come back the next day, and I'll look. Blossoms coming out. I mean, this thing was dead. I released life. I'm practicing. And you're probably saying, well, did you ever raise somebody from the dead? Yeah. You want to hear it? It's pretty cool. Now, you know, God knows our state. He knows our condition. He knows where we are spiritually. He knows the level of faith that we're at, you know. But the bottom line is, he's bigger than all of that. So he works with us. Casey and I were staying in this house in South America, in Guyana, South America. And in the middle, we were in a double bed today together. We've been in single beds together too. That's a little, you know. But we love each other, so it's okay. So in early morning hours, we heard the mother of the house come running in. My daughter's dead. And we were sleeping. We go, what'd she say? Look at Keith. Looks. Did she say somebody dead? Come quickly! So we got up. She took us in the other room, and she was married, and her husband was there, and he was holding her body, and her head was just, you know, just down in the big pile of foam that was out of her, you know, just she's gone. And now God knew that if we were fully awake, we might be a little nervous. Okay? So this happened while we were like semi-conscious. So we're just in there, and we said, Spirit of death, get off of her right now. And we're like, just like this, Spirit of death, get off her. Right now, get off. Life. And she's down there. I don't know, how long was she dead? About an hour. You know, that's long enough. They're pretty well gone, right? Okay. And we saw this happen. Came back into her body. I want to tell you, that's not any harder. It's not any harder than praying for a headache to go. It's not. God will use our faith to believe that when we pray, something's going to happen. We're on another trip, and we had a big team, 14 people, and I think that was a 14 people trip, and we were all screaming early in the morning, and we went down to check it out, and the whole village was all in front of the place where we were staying. And we asked what was going on, and they said, there's a dead man in the street. He was murdered right in front of your place. So I ran back upstairs, because we stayed in the second floor above the first floor, and ran back, and I said, hey, everybody, come on, let's go raise the dead guy. Let's go. Yippee! So we got everybody. We ran down there, and we went up to the policeman and said, can we pray? Will you let us pray? Well, we were white people. This was a village where it was half Hindu and half Muslim. And the policeman said, sure. Well, the body had a potato bag over the head, like down to here. Okay, pool of blood laying on the ground, and we all got down there and we prayed and we commanded life back into that body, and the whole village is watching us. They're all just watching to see what these white people are going to do. And we all prayed, and the guy didn't get up. Finally, the policeman said, he shut us down because we wanted to keep going. Okay. Policeman says, all right, that's enough, back off. And he went over and he took the potato bag off the guy's head. His head was decapitated. God is so good. He knew that if we went down there and saw the guy's head separated from his body, we probably would not have been in faith. No, I know we wouldn't have been in faith. We would have looked at that like, yeah, okay. But he wanted us to stand there as believers, believing and releasing. Now I want to tell you how big God is. This is what he did. Remember, the whole village is watching us. Well, so we kind of went back, you know, with the proverbial our tail between our legs. Like, did we miss it, God? Let me tell you tonight, anytime you step out to pray for someone, you are never missing it. You are never missing it. No matter what you see happen or don't see happen, you are never missing it. That person was in front of you and you were praying them for them, and God knew all about it before you were ever created. So we would have church services in the evening, and then after the church service, we had a practice. We would go out to the bars. Now, I say that in some churches, and they're like, ah. We don't go to the bars to drink. We go to the bars because we have been drinking. Are you with me? We've been drinking of the Spirit, and we go to bring the life of God into the bars. You know, there's this thing with most Christians, they say, you know, you've got to stay away from places like that. Where does light belong? Take me to the drug dens. Take me to the brothel houses. Take me to the bars. Take me to the places, the slop houses. That's where I want to go. Because the greater the work of the devil, the greater the outpouring of the glory of God. It's true. It's really true. We got this idea that somehow evil is greater than holiness. That's a stupid idea. It is not greater. The holiness of God, the power of God is far greater than anything the devil could ever do. Well, if you think you're going to be affected by it, then don't go. But I go because I know they're going to be affected by who I'm bringing. That's why I go. So we go into the bars and we dance with the drunks. We get the drunk guys and we dance with them. And they say, oh man, you guys are so much fun. And we say, yeah, we're Christians. And they go, you don't like any Christian we ever met. Really? Yeah. You know, I went to church once and they told me to get out because I wasn't willing to stop drinking. Told me to get out, and I've never been back since. I said, you understand that wasn't Jesus. You understand? They just didn't understand the power that was available to them to help you. You like to drink? Yeah. Okay. Well, we've got a drink. It's God, and it's far greater. I used to be an alcoholic in my previous lifetime. I'm not talking reincarnation, okay? I'm talking when I was crucified with Christ. The old man who I was before Christ, okay? That guy was an alcoholic. So are you kidding me? Man, God did something with you. Yeah, he made me a new creation. God doesn't come and remodel us. God does not come to fix us up. God comes to make everything new. You get a whole, you become a whole brand new person. Your spirit is new. It's a new creation, unlike any other creation that's ever been before, just like the creation of Jesus. You're not the same person. But because our mind hasn't been renewed yet to who God has made us to be, we still got that tape recording going in there of the old ways we used to think. Okay? And we think that's still who we are. It's not who you are. Begin to get buried into your spirit. The scriptures that tell you are, who God made you to be. Meditate on it. Dwell on it. Declare it. It'll change you. What's it going to change? Not change your spirit. Your spirit's already alive. Your spirit's all ready to go. Your spirit is so pumped up for God, ready to bring the life of God everywhere, but your head's not in agreement yet. Your mind's not in agreement yet. We have all these crazy reasons why we can't go. Listen, every single reason that all of you have why you can't lay hands on people and you can't get captive free is a lie out of the pit. Every reason. There's not a reason that you have that is legal, that is dishonoring what Jesus came to do. He gave us everything. All that you need for life and godliness has been given to you. Everything. Wow. Huh? I missed it. Didn't finish the story? I didn't finish it? What didn't I finish? Oh, thank you. I had people come up to me a lot of times and say, man, it was a great story, but you didn't finish it. Could you tell me the rest of it? Okay, so we're in the bar, okay, and all of a sudden this Muslim people come up to us and say, we saw you out there today. Now, what do you think the devil's putting in my head? Yeah, what he's going to say is, you're idiots, and you might as well just get out of this village. That's what the devil's putting in my head. But we need to understand, God doesn't waste anything. I said, yes. He said, we want to tell you what happened today. We want you to know that fear has been all over this village because we've had so many murders that have happened. Fear has just swept through this village, and then you guys come. And while you were praying, we all looked at each other. Are you feeling that? Are you feeling that? Feeling. I said, feeling what? He said, the fear, it lifted off of us, and we felt this peace, this calm. And all of us said the same thing. Do you feel that peace? Do you feel that calm? He said, the word is out that you are peacemakers sent from God. And we are here to receive this God that you've brought. Whoa. Come on. We think we can't pray. We think we can't pray right. We think we don't know what we're doing. Hello, he does. Take the risk. Step out there. Begin to pray. It doesn't matter if you see anything happen right away or not. Something is always happening when you put your hands on someone. There is always an impartation of the life of God. You've got it in you, and he's coming out of you, and he's going to work in that body unless you say, I guess nothing happened. I'm not ever saying that. How about you? It is a really simple, Father, forgive me for the times that I believe that it might have been your will not to restore someone. Forgive me right now. I bought a lie. That's not you. It's not your nature. It goes contrary to everything you've done, Jesus. Beginning right now, I'm going to begin to allow you to live through me to touch lives. I'm going to do it. Thank you, Jesus. I want tomorrow night. I want to show you about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how all of you can function in all the gifts, and how simple it is, and it's for all of you. And we'll show you how to receive words of knowledge. All of you have gotten them. You just didn't know what they were. We're going to show you how to receive them. It's just a powerful gift that the Holy Spirit gives us. When you're out somewhere and you're talking to someone and you don't really know how to break the ice, to get the subject onto you being able to pray for them, and the Holy Spirit will give you a word about something going on in their life, and when you release that, and then you add, and they realize there's no way you would know that except God. All of a sudden, they shift from "I don't want to hear it" to "Pray for me." It's so simple. It's so easy. And I know you're going to get it, because everybody gets this. And everything changes after we bring that. Glory to God. We're going to give some words of knowledge, but before we do that, can we have one or two people maybe that God touched you last night, just give a quick testimony? Anybody that wants to do that? Come on. We've got to get a microphone so everybody can hear you.
Good evening, everybody. Last night, my chest was clogged up, and the doctor said I've got asthma. They prayed for me, and God opened it up. And I take the steps of faith and ask them to pray for me, for my sight. And since yesterday, I'm not using my glasses anymore. It's opened up. God opened my eyes again.
Anybody else want to do that? Somebody raise your hand over there. Not yet. One more testimony. Is there anybody here that was here last night? Did anybody see what I saw besides me seeing it? Okay, so who wants to give glory to God?
I struggle a long time not hearing really well on the left side of my left ear, and I also just trust the Lord to heal me. And when they pray for me, I also step out in faith and ask them for some other problems, like severe pain in my legs. And since last night, I don't experience any pain in my legs. So all the glory to God.
No, you're praising God. Okay. Everybody, praise God. Oh, we got a lot of testimonies. Praise God. All right, one more.
Thank you. God has healed my left foot. He's healed my jaw and my ears. Praise to Him.
All right. I have another scripture I got to... Look in Acts chapter 3. Verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have. But what I do have." Say that. "But what I do have, I give you." What did he have? He had the life of Christ. The same as you do. "But what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Let's stop there just for a second, because I want to mention, okay, most of the miracles you'll see happen will happen when you pray for someone and then you ask them to move the body part that they couldn't move or without pain before. It's as they do that. Suppose a shoulder, "I can't do that." You pray for them, and then you say, "Now lift your shoulder." When they do that, boom,
you.
A miracle gets released. As they begin to act out on what they believe just happened through your prayer, as they begin to move that part, boom, the power of God comes in miraculous power. Okay, what do we do most of the time? We pray for someone, and you have a problem with your tummy, Dickie. So we I want to pray for your tummy. I pray for your tummy would be better in Jesus' name. Okay, did you have a problem? Stay with the person. Talk to them. If they've got a pain somewhere, you ask them to use that body part and test it to see. We want to see what God is doing. We are watching to see what Holy Spirit is doing. We're co-laborers with Him. We learn to watch to see what He's doing. Okay? We don't just pray once. We'll pray as many times as we need to pray. I always say, I'll pray until the person tells me, stop, don't pray anymore, or until they get healed. Let's keep praying. Now, why would I do that? Because I'm confident it is absolutely God's will to restore them. That's why I would do that. You know how many times we pray one time, nothing happens. If we just stop there, we say, well, you know, I know a good doctor. I know some, you know, good medicine. Pray again. You think you're never going to get resistance? Pray again. Even Jesus needed to pray for a blind man twice. He prayed for him once. What do you see? He said. He says, I see men like trees. They don't look like men, but they're just sticks walking around. Okay, he prayed again. This is Jesus. I don't care how many times we need to pray. We keep praying. And you talk to the people. What's going on right now? What's happening to you right now? Test that out. I feel it's quite a bit better. Great. Do you know, as soon as they say it's better, what is that saying? Huh? If they say it's better, that means that healing is being released. So what I normally do is I'll say, I bless what you're doing, Holy Spirit. I bless what you're doing right now. Thank you for finishing the work in their body that you just started. In the name of Jesus, sickness, you can't hibernate. You can't hide out here anymore. Get out. And then you have them check it again. We're praying prayers of commands. We're not asking God to come and do something for us. The authority's been given to us. We're praying prayers of command. Jesus says, speak to the mountain. If you pray and you do not doubt, you can command this mountain, whatever the mountain is, to be cast into the sea, and it will be cast. You pray. You command. They're prayers of command. Why a prayer of command? Because you have authority over it. You have the authority of Jesus over the problem. So you're commanding it to obey the authority of Jesus that you are speaking. And if you've got to do that five times, you do it five times. We don't give up. We don't stop. We keep going until the person's restored. Yeah, there's times, you know, you pray just quickly for people, but, you know, I like to stay with people until they're restored. It's real easy. How many times do we give up? We pray once. Okay, we pray once for a person, and we usually don't even ask them what's going on. We usually don't even ask them what's happening within their body right now. We don't even ask them. We just pray, and then we walk away. God bless you. No, we've been given dominion over those forces that are harassing this body, that are oppressing this body, and we need to go after it and get them out of this person's body. Get them out. The violent take it by force. Who's a violent person? Not somebody who screams and yells. Somebody who believes. That's it, just believes. So look at what it says here. It says in verse 11, now the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, just grabbed a hold of them. And all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's. It's called Solomon's Greatly Amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people. Now get this. Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man well? It's not by our own power or by our own godliness. It's by his power in us flowing through us. Why do you look as if we're something special? We're not. It's Christ in us. The same Christ in you that's special. He's the guest of honor. He's the one that's important here. We're not. We just simply come because we're believing. That's it. So we have people that say, you know why I want to get here? You didn't fast and pray long enough. Or you didn't do this, or you didn't prepare yourself, or you didn't, you know, we need to be on what I call ready alert. You know what ready alert is? You have somebody say, you know, can you come and pray? And you think, man, I'm going to have to get alone with God. I'm going to have to fast a little while. I'm going to have to get in the right place before I can pray for this kind of a problem. No, you don't. Jesus is ready. Jesus in you is ready. The Spirit of God is ready. He's ready. I've had the greatest miracles happen through my hands in front of me when I have felt the lowest spiritually. I felt like a real spiritual slug. Like I wasn't tuned in. I wasn't catching nothing. I was like out of it. And the miracles... Why? It's not about me. Don't buy into those conditions, okay? You've got the goods. The goods is Christ in you. That's the mystery. That if the devil had known that, he never would have crucified Jesus. If he had known that all you would be filled with the Spirit of Christ, he's sweating it tonight. The devil is sweating it tonight. That you're going to stand up and you're going to say, okay, I'm finding out who I am. And devil, you're going to find out who I am too. Because I'm bringing this life in me to hurting people, and I'm going to become your worst nightmare, devil. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's not, you know, how much anointing you have. We got to understand this, okay? We're not getting more anointing. You have the anointing. You have the anointing. You have the anointing. You have the Spirit of God in you. He is the one who does all this. We don't have to go off and get another anointing and get more power. You got it all in you. It's any moment, whatever the issue is, he will flow through you, come upon you, and bam! Not because you've done this right or that right, or got this knowledge or that knowledge, because you trust in who is in you. Oh man, I hope you get this. Glory to God. Glory to God.